So halfway through my freshman year in high school, I'm playing on the basketball team, and my high school coach, Coach John Anderson, after practice, he yells into the locker room, "Dale Fredrickson, Coach Amato wants to see you in his office now. Listen to him." Now, when your coach yells this into your locker room, it's typically never a good sign. So I walk into Coach Amato's little locker room office. He sits me down. Now, Coach Amato was the cross-country and track coach, and he was very soft-spoken and almost kind of shy as a coach. And so he sits me down in his office, and I'm just wondering, what could I possibly have done, like racking my brain of everything. And he looks at me and he says, "I've noticed your practices in your game, and I think you have untapped running potential." Now, no one had ever told me in my whole life I had untapped running potential, right? And plus, like, I'm a basketball player. That was my identity in high school, right? I was gonna tell him, no way. So I looked at him and said, "I'm a basketball player." He says, "I know, I've talked to your coaches, and what we want you to do is come out to one meet. Just give me 5 practice days and 1 meet in the fall, and I just wanna see." And at first I'm like, no way, you didn't hear me, I'm a basketball player, you know? And then he looks at me and just says, "Just 1 meet." And I said, "Okay, but no short shorts," right? Because that was my fear. No way was I gonna put on those runner shorts, right? And so he said, "Fine, you can wear whatever you want, give me 1 week in the fall." And so I went out in the fall, and I have to be honest with you, I was not taking this seriously, right? I am a basketball player, and there was no way I was gonna hang out and do this cross-country thing. I mean, they were like total skinny guys on this team, and they wore those short shorts. No way. That just broke all kinds of cool factor for me in high school. And so then we go to the practice, and I'm kind of just like going through the motions. 5 days come by, and there's a freshman-sophomore race actually right near Arapahoe High School. And at this race, there were 20 schools that were invited. I had no idea what a cross-country race was about. And so if you've ever been to one, you will know the picture. But if you haven't, just taken this scene. Across the starting line, there's teams of 7 to 10, and they line up across the starting line, and it kind of, there's about 500 yards is the start to where it sort of narrows you into the focus of the trail. And so either a buzzer goes off and you start this race. Well, I had no idea that you actually were supposed to look at the race before you do it. I just thought you just go out and run, you know? And so at lunch, just to back up quickly, at lunch that day, I went with a football team and we did the whole Wendy's 99-cent meal thing. And they said, you can't eat 7 things off the Wendy's meal. Well, I was 15 and I was like, I can eat 7 things off the 99-cent meal. So I go to this race and I'm at this race and I actually forgot my running shoes. No problem, I'm not really serious. So I throw on my basketball shoes, right? I get to the starting line and like people are laughing, but you don't understand. I literally don't care what cross country runners think, right? So I stand up there and I look at everyone and it was like, the like competitive adrenaline just like rushed through my body and I was like, this is pretty awesome. You know, like all these people on this big line. And then all of a sudden the buzzer rings and you're like running. And I told you most cross country guys are really running short. So I don't really get knocked over easy. So I'm just like, well, as long as I'm here, I'm gonna go all in, right? So I just start sprinting this first 500 yards. And I'm like, this is just amazing adrenaline. And I'm actually kind of thinking, this is pretty cool, you know? They didn't tell me it was like all competitive and manly and stuff, you know? So as I'm going into like where it narrows, and I'm probably in like about 25th place out of like 300 runners, and I'm like, man, I got this. They need more basketball people out here is what they need. And then the first mile comes, and I'm just like, I'm so thrilled with like this adrenaline pumping. I'm like, I'm just going all in, you know? So I am going as fast as I can on this first mile. And remember, I've never ran a race before. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I get the first mile done, and the coach is like reading off the times, and I'm like, sweet. And I can see where the leader's in the race, and I'm about in 7th, and the leader is sort of like about 500 feet in front of me, and I'm like, I'm going to take this thing. You know, this is a very embarrassing story I share vulnerably with you. I'm like, I'm going to win this race, right? And so I just start sprinting. And I am in first place. I'm ahead of the leader. And I'm thinking in my mind, yeah, untapped running talent, right? And as I'm in first, all of a sudden, now remember, I'm only like a mile and a half into a 3.2 mile race. And I had no idea. And all of a sudden, the coach Amato, soft-spoken and shy, he is sprinting next to me. Imagine your grandpa, who's really in shape, and he is like whisper yelling, "Dale, you've got another mile and a half." And I'm like, no, the finish line's like right over there. I can see it because I could literally see it, right? But I didn't look at the whole map and see I'd actually go another loop. And so I am like, no, I'm gonna win this thing. It's right there. And he's like, you better slow down. And right about then, like my stomach just started like, I felt like, oh my goodness. And I started like everything in my body, like it was like, oh no, I cannot run any faster, any longer. And so I literally, this last mile and a half, it was like, oh man, I can't even say what it's like here. It was terrible, right? Your body's shutting down, runners are going past you, and it just felt like I was like walking this mile and a half. Horrible experience. But I crossed the finish line. I held on for fourth place, which is awesome. But my body was like, I was like, I've never felt this way. Like, you know, take me to the ER right now, right? And I crossed the finish line, and like everything in my body was like, oh no. Like, you know what I'm saying right now. Like, all seven of those 99 cent items are going to come up, right? So I just book it because that's embarrassing, you know? And I'm all of a sudden recognizing the shame of like, maybe I should have prepared a little bit for this thing, you know? So I literally go way out into this field and take care of it. And then I'm just like lying. I'm lying in this field and I'm like, this is the worst day of my life, right? And I see this like cloud in the sky. And I started to feel a little bit better. And I'm looking up at this cloud, and it's like I had this like amazing epiphany that like this race, this is a lot like life. Like you gotta prepare. There's this starting point that's really amazing, and then there's this mile marker one, and then there's like this hell in mile marker two, right? This desert experience where there is nobody out there, nobody around, and then there's mile three, and then there's the finish line. And I literally sat there on my back up at this cloud, and I'm like, this is like so amazing. And I better, if I wanna like succeed in anything in life, I better get better. I better learn what it means to sort of master the starting points and the mile marker one and two. And I started to think to myself, like, if I could run this race, maybe I could live my life with a type of passion and purpose and focus, right? And so I sort of just committed right there, I'm gonna do this. And this running became a metaphor for really how to live your life. And so you get one shot and one shot only of a picture of me, and we're moving on. So, hey, someone's controlling it back there, hey. And so, when I sat there, there was also this sense in me that like running a race, I started to notice how the team acted, right? Like cross-country teams, they like bond together. They like really care for each other. Basketball teams, not so much. Cross-country teams, like they care for you. They make sure you rock the trail. Did you get enough water? Are you ready to go? Did you warm up enough? And I was sort of like, what is going on here? And it was this awesome picture for me of, it takes all of us. It takes a community to run this race of life. And it also made me think that if I was gonna run this race, like running is hard. And like oftentimes terrible, right? Have you ran? And it's so much hard work. And I thought that like, if I was really gonna live, I also needed God. Like it was sort of like, I didn't even think about to like doubt it, but I was like, there is something tangibly and real about needing God to give you the inspiration in that fire. And this brings me to the metaphor of a cloud, right? And the Bible has this incredible narrative story that it tells us the Holy Spirit is like a cloud. And there's tons of different clouds, right? There's this amazing, like, glowing cloud at sunset. And then there's clouds that seem distant and so far away from us. But then there's, like, a single cloud that, like, comes close to you. And then there's, like, the billowing, gray, gloomy clouds where you know it's about to dump rain, right? And then there's those incredible, like picturesque clouds. I remember when I went to Zimbabwe, Africa, the clouds were just right there in front of you and you were like, wow, this is amazing. And then there's like those cotton ball clouds in the air, right? And so our earliest, and then you have these sort of mysterious clouds, and clouds come and they go and they're in different shapes and sizes. And for our earliest Christians and our earliest Jewish relatives, the cloud becomes this metaphor of what the Holy Spirit is like. Sometimes near us and sometimes far from us. Sometimes so close, it's just this amazing experience, right? And so the Holy Spirit is like a cloud. And it's in this that we sense the Spirit is uncontainable and uncontrollable at times. But yet, we as human beings, we yearn and we long to find the presence of that Holy Spirit to empower us to run this race that we're supposed to run. And so there's the Bible, the way it does it, it's quite amazing. I think of it as like the evolution of cloud, right? So the Bible story starts out, the most pinnacle story in the Bible is the Exodus, right? The Israelites are in slavery and in bondage. They cry out to God and God sets them free. Well, so they're these free people. They are in the wilderness, and their leader is Moses. And Moses, of course, you know the story, goes up to Mount Sinai, and he gets the Ten Commandments. But that's just the beginning of what this community called the people of God were supposed to be about. And so from the very beginning, you have this image of a cloud. And in Exodus 24, it says, "Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain." Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And so sometimes in the Bible, it's like absolutely strange language, right? We're like, what is going on, these people? But sometimes when you experience mystery and beauty and holiness, there's no other way to describe it. It's hard to wrap your mind around it, so you use a metaphor. So experiencing the Spirit of God was like this cloud that Moses entered into. And so from the very start of the people of God, there was this cloud. There was this God whose presence was with everyone and faithful to them. And I love this picture. Elizabeth Ann Rawlson posted it last night on Facebook, and I immediately was like, oh my goodness, I've got to have that for this morning. And I love the way, as the sun is setting, you see this shining, and it really does capture, there's no word to like describe it, that glory, right? This incredible, awe-inspiring moment of like, wow, now that's a cloud, right? And so then we go on this journey, on this evolution of cloud. We come next to Moses and all the Israelites. They're in the desert. They're wandering for 40 years. And it's like, are we ever going to get out of the desert? And then we come to this passage. It says, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people would rise and stand, and each of them at the entrance of their tents, and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and bow down, all of them at the entrance point of the tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." So on this evolution of cloud, as the people of God are journeying from the starting line into this mile marker one, this God is journeying with a cloud with the people. So at the starting line, there's a ton of excitement. There's a ton of energy. But at the starting line of the people of God was the cloud ushering and offering and saying, go people. And then mile one, it's the cloud again, speaking face to face with intimacy and love to the people of God. Then we get to the desert, right? Mile two. And in Exodus 40, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting." Now this will become the tabernacle as the evolution of cloud moves on. "And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on each stage of their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel at each stage of their journey. And so mile two, we're like on fumes at mile two, right? And the cloud leads us by night, and the cloud leads us by day and the fire by night. So this is a God, this is the Holy Spirit that leads us on the journey when we have exhausted, when we are running on fumes. Then we get to mile marker three, and it's interesting what happens at mile marker three. At mile marker three, we're starting to feel some momentum, right? We're starting to see, hey, we can see the end in sight. This is a good thing. And then the Bible tells us this from 1 Kings 8. So Moses is now gone, and this cloud has now come. They've been given the land in Jerusalem. So this great promise for years and years finally comes to fruition. And then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim, angels, literally. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." So mile three is where a little bit of celebration starts. And we need celebration on our journey. We need to see that we're making progress. We're gaining traction at being human and learning this life. And mile three, we celebrate. This is the cloud. This is God who is journeying with us in our midst. This is the God who's in the tabernacle and with us. And then the finish line. And I don't know about you if you watch a lot of sports at all, but oftentimes when you see winning the NBA championship or winning the Super Bowl, you have that athlete that stands up and is just in amazing awe, just says, I want to thank God. And, you know, sometimes it comes across like kind of shallow, but I think there's something deeper to what they're saying. There's this sense that they're saying of like, I would never be here if it wasn't for my teammates and for my friends and for my parents and for all those meals and all the time that you encourage me. They've experienced that finish line experience, right? That experience that this journey is not possible without the community that supports us. And so in this cloud imagery in the Bible, we get to finally get to the New Testament in this incredible passage. And it says, the angel said to her, that's Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's the word for cloud. So the same word for cloud in the Greek that's used in all those other passages is used right here. So they understood that this cloud was now coming through Mary and through the baby Jesus. It says, therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Then Mary said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. So this evolution of cloud, this cloud that journeys with us, the Holy Spirit is like a cloud, right? And there's this really funny English word called wayfaring. Hey, Artie, wayfaring, right? But it's a really neat word when you think about it because it means to travel with, to journey, right? It literally means especially on foot. And so the cloud is this metaphor because underneath every metaphor is a practical, tangible picture. So every time you read cloud in the Bible, it literally means God's wayfaring presence. This is the God who not only is just sort of near you or sort of outside the cosmos. This is the God who's journeying with you through every mile marker of your life. This is the wayfaring presence of God. This is why they spent all that time to develop the cloud, that this God is a God who is up close and who is personal. Through the start line, through the 3 mile markers and through the finish line, this is the God of incredible love journeying with you and with us. And so I wonder in your life, I think that life is sort of this like ongoing race, right? There's many starting points to your life, new jobs, new careers, new kids. All of you will experience many different starting points to your life. And I wonder if the cloud has been present to you or if you've noticed the cloud's presence among you, the God who whispers, you can do this, the God who will never leave you or forsake you. And then I wonder if maybe some of you are at mile marker one. Maybe you took off and you are running a fast pace and you need to remind yourself that the God who overshadows all of our life, the God of Jesus is with you. You can make this race. Or maybe you're at mile marker two. the desert, right? You are out of gas and you're exhausted. You barely could make it here today. Remember, the cloud goes with you. God's wayfaring presence urging you on to the next mile marker. But then maybe there's some of you you've made it to mile marker 3 and you're like looking back on it all now and you're thinking, I'm making it. These are the celebratory times. These are the times where we see our kids at graduation or continuation. These are the times where we got the promotion at work and we're looking over it all and we're saying, thank you, God, for being that wayfaring presence to me in my life. And then there's the finish line. And any honest person, when they get to the finish line, recognizes all those people who went before, right? All that support, all that love, all that encouragement. This is the God who has been with you from the very beginning throughout your whole life and will be with you on into eternity. The wayfaring presence of God. And so the last image in the Bible of cloud is in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that so clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set out for us. And it's this image that we become clouds of support and encouragement to everyone. So God becomes for us this cloud of support and encouragement, and then we become to one another encouragement. We look at each other's journeys and we say, we can do this, we can go. And so today, wherever you're at on your journey, whatever your needs are, the cloud, God's wayfaring presence goes with you. And I ask you and I challenge you, will you open your palms and will you say underneath your breath, come, Holy Spirit, come, meet me on this journey and encourage me forward. Amen.